today. We're going to get into this message. I think you might have put it on there before I left. Yep. There you go. Thank you, my brother. Caleb generation. Take your mountain at any age. Listen, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Joshua, Caleb were the only two made it in. We'll do a little rehearsal, and then we'll get into the meat of the message today. Caleb's life inspires me. I feel like he's the kind of leader I desire to be like. And if Caleb was alive today, he would definitely be man of the year, right? But Joshua 14 is the text. If you're ready to go, I will follow you through it. If you got the next slide. Now, the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, I want to stop right there. So Caleb was a Kenizzite who converted to a Jew in Israel and was in Egypt and then came out of Egypt. So it's kind of like Abraham. How many know God can call people out of darkness into his marvelous light? And so Caleb was this man, and you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. This is Joshua. You know what God said to us at Kadesh Barnea. Next slide, please. I was 40 years old, Caleb speaking. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back with Joshua a report according to my conviction, me and Joshua, out of the 12 spies, 12 leaders of the land, one from each tribe. I brought a good report. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, say the rest of it with me, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. I couldn't hear you. Would you say it with me? I, however, go back up. I want them to say it. I, however, if you don't get nothing else today, the point of this message is that we'll leave here and be determined as Caleb, the Caleb spirit, to follow the Lord, our God, wholeheartedly. Amen? Next slide. Thank you. So on that day, he goes on, says, Moses swore to me, that came from the Lord, that the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that your children forever, that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. That's what God said. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Woo! I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was 45 years ago. And now, give me this mountain or this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Isn't this exciting? And then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because, help me, he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Somebody give the Lord praise for the word of the Lord today. That's a powerful story, and I want to ask God to anoint us. Father, bless the word of God today. Anoint us as we go into the word. Thank you for taking care of the house of the Lord last week with Pastor Austin. Thank you for what you did in our services last week. But we want and we ask for a fresh anointing and a fresh touch today so that we too can follow the Caleb spirit and have an anointing on our life that can help us to follow the Lord wholeheartedly all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So Caleb went through all the wilderness journey with Israel, but came out with a different spirit. And I'll tell you, It's my joy and my hope to share the word of God today that you would come out today with encouragement to be determined. I mean, oh, you got to have the want to. Caleb was a young man then, and he was full of vinegar, but here he is 85 years old and 80 years old, and he says, hey, the Lord has given me the strength. I am just as excited today as I was back then. And so he went through it all. He went through it all, but he came out with a different spirit. He was at the Exodus. He saw the plagues. He had the Passover. He heard the promise. He made the Exodus. He saw the Red Sea. He saw Pharaoh's army smashed all the chariots under the water. I mean, that was a big day. He came out on the other side and danced with the tambourine with Miriam. I guess you had to be there. It was a wonderful victory. Amen. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Woo! Yeah, it was a big day. I know you may not be excited, but he said, the Lord liveth. You know, blessed be the rock, right? I mean, he was rejoicing. He saw it all. He also was there whenever they had the manna falling, the fire, the cloud, the tabernacle, Mount Sinai experience. There when all of this was going on, yet he was able to stand strong and appropriate God's promise and take God at his word. That's the point of today. You can take God at his word. God gave a vision. God gave a promise. God spoke something to Caleb. And all those years later, Caleb held on to the vision and the word of God, the promises of God, and God was faithful. Can you say amen to that? So the point is that God saves us from slavery. That's been our series, moving forward. And then he promises us a life of victory, intense spiritual joy. How many things? It's God's plan and joy for us to have a blessing. He promised blessing. He said, go get it. Go get it. I've given it to you. And he's intending for us to be intentional and claim the blessing. But instead of claiming what is rightfully ours from God, we choose to, and Israel did, disobey, complain, didn't believe, spent years in spiritual barren wilderness, defeated and depressed, and didn't go into the land that God had promised for them. And then there's Joshua and Caleb. How many this morning want to be in the camp of Joshua and Caleb? How many came to church and said, Pastor, I don't know what I've been, but what I need in my future in 2025 is to develop a spirit like Caleb, a different spirit, a spirit that says, no matter what I face, no matter how many giants, the grapes are greater in my mind than the giants in that land. He was determined, man. I mean, he was ready. There's a lot of Christians today kind of window shopping, you know, just going through life. And nothing wrong with window shopping. I guess you could save some money. My wife does some window shopping. But a man said to his wife, why do you call it window shopping? You never buy anything. Seemed like a waste. To which she replied, why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything. Come on, somebody. I mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, you ought to serve him with all your heart. I'm glad I got in. I'm glad I got in 43 years ago, and the man of God just went to be with the Lord, and he was a great leader and a great man, but he taught us in a new believers class. He helped us. He baptized us in water. We joined the church, all 15 of us, Mr. Jerry's friends and his whole family, Melissa and Mr. Jerry's family, and her long-lost boyfriend. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be saved today. I'm grateful. And it was so wonderful. There's nothing in the world for me. How many found joy in the Lord and you can't find it anywhere else? So today I want us to look at this and find out what made Caleb different. I can give you thoughts now and you can look at it, study it a little deeper later, but he was able to possess God's best because he believed the promise was real. It's real. This word is real. This journey in the Lord is real. This relationship with Jesus is real. God's plan for your life is real. He has what's best for you. He knows what you need. He's already established and developed and already called out what it is he's bringing you into. And it's a shame that so many of God's people do not live up to the potential to believe God for the best that he's already designed and laid out for them. He was willing to believe the promise was real. He was willing to pay the price fight the battle, win the victory, and even wait on God's timing all the way to the end. Wow. So here's this story in his own words. I was 40 years old when Moses sent me to explore the land. I brought back a report, a positive report, but my Israelite friends, they went up with me, and they made the hearts of the people melt in fear. How many know leadership is influence, and it's important how you talk? If you're a leader in this house or a leader in your home and a leader in your church, a leader in your work, the way you represent Christ is vital. It's vital. People are watching. Children in the next generation's watching you. Aren't you glad last time we spoke on this that God was gracious to the next generation? That everybody 20-year-old and under was able to go in to possess the land, but everybody 20 and older, except for Joshua and Caleb, did not enter into the land of promise where they can find rest. I'm glad God thinks about the next gen. And as a leader, you should be thinking, hey, let's give a good report. Let's live up above reproach so we can leave something behind for the next generation. Surely we don't want them to live in fear. Surely we don't want to develop a capacity or an environment to feel fear instead of build faith. Listen, there shouldn't be any naysayers. Not in the kingdom. Yes, there's trouble. Absolutely, there's giants. There's always a battle. It's always going to be tough. But thanks be to God for his faithfulness. He's a good God. He'll take care of your enemies. Last night while you were sleeping, God was already taking care of the enemy that's going to face you next week. He's ahead of the game. I mean, no, God's ahead of you, leading you into still waters and to green pastures. He's a good shepherd of the sheep. Amen? So the land, he said, I think it was just simple. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He remembered the promise of God. That day Moses swore to him, the land on which your feet have walked is going to be your inheritance. He said, Caleb, hold on to this. God has spoken to me. Because you and Joshua came in with a positive report, God said, it's yours. Go get it. And so he says, here I am today, 85 years old, as strong as the day Moses sent me. I'm as vigorous to go out in battle as I was then. I don't know if he was on a rigid disciplinary kind of discipline. I think it was more something like this. He decided to follow the Lord Jesus. He made up his mind and determined in his mind that what God has for me is greater than anything I had as a Kenizzite or a rebel or anything else. What God has for you in your future is greater than what you ever had in your past. And he held on to that. He was determined, I'm going to get it. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to claim my victory and the promise of God. And so now, give me this hill country, he said, that the Lord promised me. And then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron, as his inheritance. Because, three times this phrase, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. We can learn some valuable lessons, four thoughts. First one, it's not on the PowerPoint, so just relax. Go back to the front and make them think it's all good. Did I read that last verse? Because this is the big verse. Go back to that last one. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites, the biggest giant, Arba. Then the land had rest from war. So important, I'll pick it up in the last thought. It's big. This is big, all right? So this is it. First thought was a spirit of commitment. He had a different spirit than the rest of the folks from those around him. He was positive, a faith-filled kind of person. And because of this phrase, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Not only holy, W-H, but H-O-L-Y. How many know the Lord wants you to hold up a high standard? If you're going to bring in your children and your grandchildren, how many know you're going to have to raise the bloodstained banner of the cross of Jesus Christ? You're going to have to preach hell hot and heaven happy. You're going to have to live above reproach. You're going to have to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Stay in tune with the Word of God. Let your ears be inclined to hear. Thus saith the Lord. If it's a command, obey it. If it's a promise, claim it. God has a word for you today. And he wants you to follow through with wholehearted devotion. It's a phrase here, holy, follow the Lord. It's a phrase that means to close the gap. If you're taking notes, it means to close the gap. And it's taken, it's kind of connotation from the hunting term. It's a hunting term. Hunters used to refer to closing the space between them and their prey. Caleb's spirit is kind of like a cheetah who sees a little impala and is crouched down in the grass, sneaking up on it, and he's going to get it. Impalas can be fast, but cheetah is fast. And I want you to know that this is the determination spirit. Caleb said, you know what? I'm going to stay close to God. I'm going to close the gap. I'm not going to let God get out of my space. I'm going to get closer and closer to God. How many know God entire? He desires, he intends for you to get closer to him. If you're not closer today to the Lord than you were when you first got in, you need to get back to an old-fashioned altar and say, Jesus, bring me closer. Call on me and call on him and he will answer and you can have fellowship with the Lord. This is what he's saying. Some people today have made God a church. Kind of church is just a hobby. I'll just pick it up on the weekend when I feel like it. You know, kind of like fishing. I might go fishing. I might go to church. I might go do this. I might do that. How many know this serving God business is not a hobby? It ought to be a holy habit of God. You ought to have the desire to have fellowship with the Lord, and you ought to be desirous to be more close to him today than you've ever been with the Lord. Somebody ought to give him a praise. You ought to give him a praise. Wholeheartedly, he followed the Lord. Closing the gap. He belonged to God, not just fragment of his life, not just a portion of his life, because some people start off well, but they don't end up well. Caleb's spirit is a person who's determined wholeheartedly to keep what he committed from the first day all the way to the end. Is anybody getting any of this? So Caleb had a different spirit. He was all in. Say, well, Pastor, you know what? You're here excited. Just got back from a mission. And you always get excited. You sweat and you preach and you spit and you fire. It's just your personality. How many know this is more than my personality? I've given up everything to follow the Lord. So what did you give up? I didn't have anything. I mean, no, I didn't have anything to start with. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And if I want to, I can go back to nothing. Or I'd rather keep my commitment to the one who gave me everything I ever needed. Wholeheartedly following the Lord. So, well, you know, you're a preacher, deacons, you know, they're all in. But surely, Pastor, God doesn't expect me to have that kind of commitment, wholehearted. No, you're wrong. God definitely expects, he deserves your all. How many things God deserves all of you? He doesn't want part of you. He don't want you to be a part-time Christian on Sundays only. How many know he wants more than Sundays? He wants every day of your life, every hour of every day. He wants, not only does he deserve your allegiance and your alliance, he demands it. He commands you, follow me, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. He desires it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies, wholly following the Lord. That's completely. You ought to be growing in the Lord. You should be maturing. If there's something that has hindered your growth or stunted your process of growth in your walk with God, you need to get a spiritual checkup. When I left last week, Brother Mark did a spiritual checkup in my class. I know the youth did it as they did their spiritual checkups. You ought to, this is a good time of the year in thinking about moving forward in God. This is a good time for you to do a little evaluation. When is another good time? Communion is a great time to reevaluate your intimacy with the Lord. See, Pastor, I'm as close to the Lord as I'm going to be. No. You're as close to the Lord as you want to be. So Jesus chose 12. Out of the 12, there were three, Peter, James, and John. Out of the three, there was one, John. And when he was hanging on the cross, where was everybody else? John was there. When he was at the supper, who was right there laying his head on his chest? John was there. You're as close to God today as you want to be. Don't serve God because it is the church thing to do. Can I tell you, you're coming to Christ, not to church. Church, well, listen, you'll give up on church sooner or later. You won't make it 80 years. But if you'll come to Christ, how many know he can sustain you and hope and build hope in you and help you and keep you alive in the spirit all of these years? Oh, I'm feeling good preaching this message. Keep on preaching, Pastor. And so he gave it all he had. It was his commitment. And if you're born again, you should take off that complacent spirit, shake it off, and get a Caleb spirit. Why? Because you are all his, and he wants all of you, not some of you. Can you say amen? Number two, it was because of his confident spirit. A Caleb spirit is not only a committed spirit, it's a confident spirit. Man, what confidence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, Caleb was a faithful and faith-filled. Amen? He believed that with God's help, every giant that stood in his way could be conquered. That's what he believed. And even when others say they can't, he was saying, they all gave a bad report. He said, no, let's get up right now. Let's go get them. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I know there's giants in the land, but I also observed the land with these other 10 guys in Joshua, and I saw the land flowing with milk and honey. I saw the good land, the large land. Fortified cities, yes. Enemies of God, definitely. But what I saw over there was everything God said it would be. And it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. Therefore, let's go get it. He was confident. Give me this hill country, he said, that the Lord promised me. You yourselves heard that the Anakites, okay, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me. Somebody shout, the Lord help me. Shout it again. The Lord help me. But the Lord helping me. It's not something we can do in our own flesh, in our own strength. I mean, the human strength, human wisdom, human resources are going to run out sooner or later. You're going to run to the end of yourself, and you better put your confidence in the strong name of our God. I mean, he's Jehovah God, supreme authority in our life. No one like our God. I said, there's no one like our God. Woo! I can follow a God who can help me, and I will drive them out just like he said. Deuteronomy 1. I don't have all these up there. You're just going to have to take notes. Verse 34 through 36, when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Four times, because he closed the gap between me and him, because he hunted me down and pursued me like David did, a man after God's own heart. And so how many of here that would like to serve the Lord with a Caleb spirit, a spirit of faith and confidence? He said, I saw the grapes, and God said it was flowing with milk and honey, and I want it. Let's go. If you're watching the game next Sunday or last Sunday, and whenever you see they make a touchdown, cheating or otherwise, one that made the play in the end zone usually says, and you can read their mouth, let's go! I mean, their aim and goal is the Super Bowl. Can I tell you, I'm getting ready for something greater than a Super Bowl. I said, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to go to a place whose builder and maker is my God. He's going to restore all things like new. It's going to be a wonderful, how many know heaven's a wonderful place? And if they can get so excited about a pigskin thrown around the place, nothing wrong with football. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. My team's winning. Saints are losing. The New Orleans Saints. They used to be my team. But I hardly could see them play on the field with a bag, a paper bag over my head. You know, that's what we did for many years. They were losers. But then God raised up a leader, Drew Brees. Oh, yes, they call him the Breeze. No, I'm not going to do that. Not going to go there. He saw it. The Giants will not keep him from the grapes. The Giants were not going to keep him from the grapes. How much in your spirit is the reward that God has laid in front of you? I mean, is there a word that God gave you 40 years ago you're still claiming today? What happens is, because so much space and time gets involved, then we have delay that brings disappointment. But can I shout it this morning? I feel like shouting. Delay does not mean denial. How many know God will bring it to pass? If God said it, my friends, you can count on it. God is faithful. And God gave it to Caleb, and he claimed it, filled with confidence. Man, what did he do? Well, he took a sword in one hand, and he took the title deed of the land in the other. And he fought with devils and demons and giants. And then he cut down some grapes and ate a little bit of grapes and pomegranates and some figs. And in the other hand, he came all the way to the title deed and took and claimed what God said he could have. Oh, Pastor, you're just excited. No, I'm telling you the story. I didn't make this up. I'm just a messenger. Amen? So faith is not talking about name it, claim it. We're not talking about positive confession here. We're talking about taking God at his word. Man, if God said it, you hold on. Hang in there. Tie your guts in a knot. Work it out. Amen? God will help you if you'll be confident. It's not optimism by itself. It's acting on what God already promised. And thirdly, it's a spirit of courage. He had a vision that neither age nor circumstances could diminish. He was willing to wait. Somebody shout, wait. He was willing to wait for it. Man, I think about Joseph and his dream as a 16-year-old boy. Some 25, 30 years later, he's in the palace. That's a long time. He had to go through the pit. He had to be falsely accused in Potiphar's house. Y'all don't know Potiphar's wife's name? In Guyana, I told them Potiphar's wife's name was Hotifer. They thought that was pretty funny, because if she was ugly as sin, it wouldn't have been a temptation. But she came on to him, and he said, honey, you can have my coat, but there ain't no way you're taking my character. I'm going to get to the promise that God has for me. You might rip me off of this and steal that. You can falsely accuse me, call me this, call me that. But I want you to know, when I get to the end of this race, you call me a servant of the living God. Following God wholeheartedly. I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to finish this thing. How many is planning to finish strong? So God gave it. He claimed it. Filled with courage. Numbers 14, 8, and 9. If the Lord is pleased with us, he said. Look what Caleb said. If the Lord is pleased with us, Numbers 14, 8, and 9, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land, because he will devour them. Their protection is gone. And the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. What's he saying? He's saying that there's a hedge of protection over the people of God. You remember Job? Job was a righteous man. He had a hedge of protection about him. Blessed. How many know Job was blessed? And when God tells you you're righteous, it's a good chance you're probably right. When God told Satan this is a righteous man, Satan said, yeah, but he's only serving you for what he can get out of the deal. So God said, I tell you what, I give you permission. Do what you want. Take what you want. We'll see. The first thing he took was his livestock. You know why? Because the first thing Satan wants to steal from you is your worship. Now Job couldn't make a sacrifice, and he couldn't bring it on the altar of God and thank God for his life. I mean, oh, Satan's after your worship. You might have had a hard week. You might be going through a real bad trial. But when you get into the house of the Lord, your hands ought to be lifted high and your voice ought to be lifted up and your eyes ought to be lifted to heaven saying, my God is able to bring me into this land. It's a process. And you can't let things stop you. You can't let it happen. Don't be afraid of the people. The Lord is for us. When you boil it all down, basically it means, it just simply, you can spell courage with three letters. Y-E-S. How many's giving your yes to the Lord? How many's giving your yes to the Lord in a covenant, but the first struggle, the first wind, the first trial that came, your yes turned into a no. We want to go in the land. We heard you say it was for us, but we're not willing to go up against a giant. Those grapes are not that important to me because I don't want to lose. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to keep from losing. Can I tell you, moving forward in 2025, if all you're trying to do is keep from losing, you're never going to advance. You're never going to win if all you're trying to do is keep from losing. No risk, no reward. Say it with me. No risk. God said move. Move into what I called you to do. Hey, maybe there's a dream and you felt like you couldn't get there financially. You couldn't get there. You don't have enough of this or enough of that. I mean, no, God loves to work with not enough. He can take two fish, five loaves of bread, and feed 15,000. If you'll let him. And so Caleb attributed his strength and longevity to the Lord who kept him alive all those years. 45 years is a long time to me. I'm 61. If Ralph Heisterman, is he here? He's upstairs. Happy birthday, Ralph. 61, up in the corner. Give God praise for Ralph. 61, me and him had the same birth year. Come on, for Ralph, guys, for Ralph. Sorry, Ralph. It was slow going, but they got the hint after. Happy birthday, brother. We're not going to spend 5.5 hours in here with your birthday party. Like the last guy Sunday, last Sunday. But we do love you. So what we need in church is God's people to get this. Them giants don't keep me from them grapes. I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a giant killer. If there's anything in your way, how many know, take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and cut it out the way. You're never going to move forward allowing obstacles to occupy a space where faith ought to be. So take faith. What we need is some people with a Caleb spirit, filled with God's confidence, putting a sword in one hand and title deed in the other, and moving forward in faith. Caleb, 45 years, no bitterness, no resentment. Having to wait that long, he just, unwavering courage, acceptance, and submission. Unwavering courage, acceptance, and submission. How long can you stay under the tutelage of the Lord? You see, Judah's spirit is different than a Caleb spirit. Judas had a wrong perception of Jesus' authority and leadership. Judas didn't know the mind and plan and will of God for Jesus' leadership. So he thought that Jesus was the coward and that he was the mighty leader. Are y'all hearing me? But Judas ended up destroying his future permanently when all he had to do was rectify a problem that was temporary. How do you do it? All you have to do is get in line and get God's perspective. Get in the Word of God, and whatever God's Word says, that's what you do. Amen? And so that's what happened. Are you still excited about your future? I mean, has God spoken to something to you? His sovereign will can be done. Can you trust God for the promise he made in your life 40 years ago, like Caleb did? Can you? And God's timing is impeccable. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. Some days you're running. Some days you're walking. Some days you're crawling. But all days you're waiting. Waiting on the Lord. waiting on the Lord. In serving the Lord for 43 years, the hardest thing I've ever seen, the people of God have to go through as their pastor, or Melissa and I had to go through as leaders, or just Christians, is that space of time where there doesn't seem to be anything happening. The space of time where there's a delay between what God said, Abraham, from thy seed, I'm going to produce a nation from your seed. He took him to the outside, said, look, count the stars, as many stars as you can count. That's how many seeds you're going to have. And 25 years later, here comes Isaac. Are you hearing me? And Sarai, she got a little discouraged in the delay, and so she wanted to help God out. Does anybody know the story? So she allowed Hagar to take care of things, and they had Ishmael. And we're still fighting a war today because the flesh and the spirit do not mix. They got to battling, and Sarah said, get her out of here. So Abraham said to go. But how many know our God can find you under the bushes? Even when you lose your way, how many know God still speaks to the lady in the bushes? Her son is dying of dehydration, and he speaks to her, and she submits back. Think about it. Goes back to that last place. All she was doing was walking in obedience the best she could. But the flesh and the spirit, it was Sarai who caused that. Are y'all hearing me? And so no matter what your past is, you could even be from a Kenizzite, from Kenizzite land. You could be a parasite. You could be any kind of termite. But God wants you to know, until you wholeheartedly decide to follow him. Is anybody getting any of this? Are you excited about your future? God's going to come through. I said, God's going to come through for somebody in this room today. And this too will pass, whatever you're going through. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so good. He's worthy of praise. Come on, lift your hand. Just praise him. I know we're not finished yet. Just give him a praise. All my life, you have been faithful. Thick and thin, I crossed the river. It didn't overtake me. Through the flood, it didn't overtake me. Even in the fire, I came out without being burned. You were good. You are good. You will be good. And I'm determined to finish strong in the faith, believing in the promises of God. And the last one today, last point, in his old age, he remains young at heart. How many young at heart in here? It's not easy. The older you get, the less you feel like shouting. I get it. I get it. You have camp meeting, and then you have to go get some Bengay and so you ask God to give you the spirit of Caleb. Well, Caleb went back to take his claim. He said to Joshua, today I'm 80 years old. And I want to remind you, sir, hallelujah, God 45 years ago said I had a promise and I'm here to claim the promise. See, it was given to the land of Israel, to each tribe. And now Caleb's a leader, one of the tribes. And so, in his old age, he asked God to give him what was rightly his. It's significant to me because Hebron, the word Hebron means fellowship. Caleb refused to quit until he obtained the promise of God. And fellowship belongs to those who wait. I mean, good things come to those who wait, but not to those who wait too late. Amen. You don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to get behind God. You just want to stay with him. Amen? Bridging the gap, closing the gap, staying in close fellowship with the Lord. I thought that was significant. Fellowship used to belong to the giants, but now Caleb has taken the land of Anakim and changed the name to Hebron. The land that belonged to the giant, the biggest giant. Put that last verse up there again. Hebron, he said. Here's Hebron. Used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, the biggest giant among them. But now it belongs to Caleb. And it's called Hebron. It's the place God promised to King David. It's the place of peace. And now there's no more war. How many know we could use some shalom in the house of the Lord? If you need some shalom in your spirit, raise your hands to the Lord this morning. If you need some peace in your heart, raise your hand to the Lord this morning. Say, whatever the enemy had that he took from me, I'm ready today to take it back. It's mine. It's rightly mine. God promised it to me, and I'm not letting it go. Maybe you don't believe me. Joshua 14, 13 and 14. Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to the Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Five times. We made that phrase five times. Ironic, I think. Kiriath Arba belonged to Arba, the greatest giant in the land. And now it's Caleb's. And it means fellowship with God. It means shalom. It means peace. There is no more war. So the place ran by giants was taken by the saints, and they moved forward